mystic Atira was born with an amazing gift. Atira has seen and talked with angels and her spirit guide for as long as she can remember. And now she connects you with spirit as the angels answer your questions on past lives, passed over loved ones, dreams, relatives, workplace, and spiritual experiences. Atira is an Edgar Cayce Foundation handpicked psychic and is featured in The Days of Wonder by G.W. Hardin. Atira's magical, uplifting, worldwide readings are just $100 for 45 minutes, which includes an audio tape. Email angelreadings@angelscribe.com. That's angelreadings@angelscribe.com for an appointment, or go to Atira's website at angelscribe.com. For metaphysical, straight talk from the heart, it's Atira, Angel Mystic.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And I want to remind you that if you want to listen to the show and you want to listen to archives, people have been emailing me, please go to bbsradio.com and look under Metaphysical Straight Talk. They are archiving and working on that system as fast as they can, so please check that out. If you're having trouble, you can always go to the website, and it is angel, A-N-G-E-L-S-C-R-I-B-E .com, and check all the links and find out how to go and listen to your little heart's content about this. And I want to welcome people who are now listening from Switzerland, England, and other countries. I've gotten a lot of emails lately from that. We're very, very excited to have you on board listening. I want to mention also, for a lot of people have been asking, you know, where can they meet Mary Ellen and I? Well, we happen to be together in this weekend. We're going to be at an event in Seattle at the Convention Center, and John Holland is here. You can look on the website, johnholland.com. He's an incredible medium. Or you can check out by looking at hayhouse.com. They're the people who are sponsoring that event. So come on down and, you know, we'll have a little talk. Now, having said that, one of the things that's been happening lately as I've done more teaching is people started asking me questions. So this show, I'd like to talk about some subjects, and I'd love for you to call in if you have something to talk about where you've had a channeling experience, where you've had, you know, questions about what you're getting from spirit or information. So in a little bit, I'll give you the number to call in. But right now, I want to kind of talk about some clarity and some things that clients, people in my classes, people that I've met have been asking me, and that is, Atira, how do you know that voice you hear is Dom versus your higher self versus your mind chatter versus, you know, you're just crazy? And that is a great question, because the truth is sometimes I'm not so sure. You know, in the beginning when I reawoken to hearing Dom, when I was a child, I absolutely never questioned, because I saw Dom. He was a physical being to me. I didn't question that he was spirit or any of my connections. When I kind of shut everything down, went into sort of a dormant period in my life in my teens, when I reawoke into it and heard Dom full force again, then I had questions. Okay, what is this all about? And someone was wonderful enough to give me an Edgar Cayce book, which helped me sort it out. I don't think I worried about being crazy so much as people around me worried about that I might be hearing voices that might be, you know, not for my highest good. I can tell you for me, now I can't speak for others' works, but we'll discuss some other people's opinions shortly. It is a distinct, very distinct, different voice. I hear it in my head, but I also hear it outside of my head audibly. He definitely has a personality and talks different than I ever would, uses words and phrases, and just his whole, the energy of the whole demeanor is very different than I, a terror, would ever be. So I'm sure and convinced that it is not my higher self. If it is my higher self, it has really interesting dominant male side that is totally not anything like my conscious self. I really believe our unconscious self will have a lot of flavor of our own self in it. So once in a while, when I do hear something that I know is my higher self or my higher consciousness. I have a really distinct connection that that's part of who and what I am. The other part of that is when I hear angels, guides, and masters, they also distinctly have a very different resonant sound tone to their how I hear them. They stumble over words, sometimes English words. Angels in particular, often they'll use pictures or sounds and symbols to get their things across. So having made those statements, and even people who do automatic writing, I noticed that people who have talked and I've asked and questioned about automatic writing, when they're doing automatic writing, the writing has a total different diction than they would use, slants differently than they do, is a very distinct, different kind of information or writing or everything, demeanor, than what they have in a conscious state. So, having said all that, then we go to the next debate, which is really interesting. What is the difference between mediumship and channeling? And a lot of people lately have been asking me that because, and for me, you know, I kind of see them as the same. But there are some distinctions. So when I'm going to actually read you some information and definition by Raymond Buckland because I think it's a very good definition. It's the one I would say is closest to my understanding as well. So although mediums are channeling information, they are not channels in the normal sense of this. Similarly, channels are not mediums. The differences are subtle but important. Mediums are part of the spirit of spiritualism. In other words, the term medium really got defined when, in 1848, spiritualism was born. And they are intermediaries, between the world of the living and the other world beyond death, physical death. They bridge the gap between those who are still alive and their deceased relatives and loved ones who have crossed over. Usually, though not always, there is a direct relationship between the two personalities connecting through the agency of the medium. The medium may or may not go into trance. He or she may use clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentient, direct voice, or any one of a number of different ways to bring through the message from the other side. The message can, and usually do, come from a wide range of spirits, many different people who have lived before. The living receivers are often able to ask questions of the deceased and to receive answers, advice, and communication. Now, having said that definition, here is my little quandary and my little seeking mind that's going to say, I have a question about that. When I read the principles of spiritualism, the first principle of spiritualism is I believe in infinite intelligence / God. If I believe in infinite intelligence / God, then I know that I should not presume to even fathom one-tenth of what the Creator has created. I haven't figured out everything in this plane and planet. I certainly wouldn't assume to understand infinite intelligence design on the universe and everything that creator force has created. So I think it's strange that we would assume that we are going to say the only ones you should be talking to is passed over loved ones, because absolutely till 1884 and the spiritualist movement was born. Before that, if you would have discussed talking with people who had passed over, they would have put you away. You would have been having a psychotic breakdown, and you know the psychiatrist or the doctors at the time would probably be doing something to get you some help. So it's strange to me for any group to say, okay, because we had this movement, because we got awareness of this, now that's okay, but anything other than that's not okay. I think we're getting caught in limitations again. So I'm very curious about how they truly define you can only talk to passed over loved ones. It does say here that you can talk to other people who have passed over. I'm confused about where the line's drawn. So let's read a little more and talk about channeling now. Channelers bring information from entities that may or may not have lived on this earth plane and are generally not related in any way to the receiver. Each channel usually produces information from only one particular source, frequently delivered as a lecture. Some of these sources claim to have origins in different ancient times, i.e. Atlantis, Egypt, different things. Well, when I listen to that, I'm thinking, you know, there's a meridian of passed over souls, not just my loved ones, that really, truly might be more evolved than me. I mean, I would love to have a little talk with that Pythagoras and Hermes, and I could think, you know, Einstein, I could think of a Rudolf Steiner, I could think of a meridian of passed over individuals just from this plane that I wouldn't mind having some esoteric discussions with. So if I want to do that, then I'm assuming I have to go to a channel versus a medium. I don't know. To me, if you're a conduit for spirit, then it would be that you could talk to any of those spiritual realms. And I think that if we are amazed and surprised enough to learn that there is a dimension where our spirit goes after death, then I think I have to be open to the possibilities that there are dimensions that you and I have not yet discovered, that infinite intelligence has created and knows all about. So for me, I think being interested in people who are doing channeling would be fascinating. And I have to be honest with you that I've read a lot about channeling, in that I have listened to people who have done channeled material. So this information that comes through these channels comes through their vocal cords of the channel, and they often are in trance. So I have to think about, is Edgar Cayce a medium or a channel? By spiritual definitions, he would be in trance, but by their definition, he wouldn't be a medium, because if you read Edgar Cayce, he really goes to the higher self, but he also goes to other spiritual entities and the Akashic Records to bring forth information to heal or help those that he was working with. So I guess we would have to let Edgar Cayce fall under the claim or the label of channel. There's just so much that gets in the way of understanding truly what is coming forth from spirit. I think probably they have job descriptions on the other side just like we do. So perhaps there are, you know, just like here you could be baker, butcher, and candlestick maker, on the other side you could be angels, guides, masters, hierarchies, other realms, ETs, Great White Brotherhood. I hope I haven't left anybody out. I'm sure there are things that we have yet to discover. And so I find it very fascinating as we grow forward in our spiritual studies and as seekers that we have to be open to the possibilities and let some of the limitations fall away and keep exploring. And remember that we have to judge for ourselves, discern for ourselves, not judge so much, but discern what resonates with us, what feels right. Because I have to tell you, for me, I think when someone is like Mozart, I would say perhaps Mozart then was not a medium, but was a channel and channeled his music. Most great poets then are channels. I think that's true. They channel things they hear, see, sense, and know from other dimensions. I don't think we can limit just to our dimension, just like we cannot limit just to our planet. Before, you know, it wasn't that many decades ago that the world was considered flat by scientific definitions, that we were, you know, the universe was basically us and the moon and the sun, and yet we know there are other planets. How many are inhabitable? We don't still have all that information. We haven't developed the scientific technology to learn and know everything outside of our universe yet or inside of our universe. You start talking to scientists, we're still trying to discover the ocean floor, in our world. We're still trying to understand the inner universe of our very physical being. We had a discussion not long ago on the radio about, you know, we don't even really know how where thought comes from. We know the brain is like the central operator, but really, where does all of thoughts come from? How we communicate telepathically, how we even communicate in our brain, in thoughts and things and inventions, and all that stuff comes into our consciousness. We don't even understand all that. So if I don't even understand how my little pea pick and brain works, I don't think I can really limit the universe and how all of the things work and are dynamic in the universe. So I find it interesting when we start getting in these great esoteric discussions about what is and isn't, you know, known or unknown. So really, truly, when you hear direct voices, you know, coming through and that this person is being used as a conduit, whether mediumistically or as a channel, I think you have to discern what is the information that's coming through. Not just get caught up in the sideshow and the excitement of seeing someone do this and this person has a very different personality, because that's fascinating, too. I think it's fascinating to see different entities, different personalities come through people. But what is the information? How valid is the information? So one of the things I started really looking into is some channeled material. I hope that you have looked into some of this, the Jane Roberts information. She channeled an entity called Seth from 1929 to 1984. And this was a very energetic, interesting personality. She went into total trance, had a very different look, presence about it, actually even had what I would say probably, you know, transfiguration where the features really even changed. That information taught a lot of things about your higher consciousness, your oversoul, very profound work if you get the chance to look in that. Another one that was very big probably in the 1980s, 70s and 80s, I guess, late 70s. In 80s, and it's still very popular today, is J.Z. Knight, she channeled. I believe, actually, she started channeling, I'm really not sure, actually. I think, actually, 1979, I think, is when she started her early channeling. And her character is Ramtha. Now, Ramtha has says he lived over 35,000 years ago on a lost continent of Lemuria. And there is a rich volume of her work, and she is really, she happens to be in sort of my own backyard in Yelm, Washington. And so I followed some of her work quite a bit because she was so close here. I have heard her lecture a couple times. I have not gone to her classes. But I would say the work that, or the information that I heard her talk on in the times that I heard her lecture was quite profound work. It was things that I don't think most people would think about on a mundane, everyday basis, some of which certainly could not probably be looked at in history books. I do believe there's a man in England who's done a lot of work on Lemuria and Atlantis, and so perhaps someone like that would have access to it. But I don't think a local housewife would probably get her hands on things like that in that era, because you've got to remember the internet in Seth's time and in J.Z. Knight's time, in the beginning, there wasn't the internet. Now we have, you know, information at our touch, so you have to discern a lot more. The one person I can talk a little bit about is Lazarus. Jack Purcell channels Lazarus. He was originally out of California, but now lives in Florida. And when Jack was touring a lot, I did go hear him 20 years ago. I found him to be absolutely an amazing opportunity to see something and learn something that was really, really, truly, I believe, totally an entity that has never done Earth and knew a lot more than we did. At the time, 20 years ago, the stuff that he was talking about, a lot of it has come to manifestation in some of the scientific things that have been found out and many, many other things that he talked about. So I have personal experience with Lazarus. I listen to a lot of his tapes and CDs still. another one that I didn't realize actually until I started kind of doing some research how much of it has kind of gone on in Washington State. Elizabeth Clare Prophet is another channeler, and actually was started here in Washington. I do not know very much about this one. My understanding is that there was a Bashar was the entity channeled from a planet 500 light years away. I don't know enough about that particular channel to speak a lot of knowledge. So if anybody does know a lot about Bashar, wants to comment or talk about, I know that they also worked with Saint Germain a lot. So if you have information on that, please, please call in and let's talk about these different channels. The number to call in is 1-877-876-5227. Or call in and talk. Let's talk about some other channels you know about. We really hear a lot right now in the last few years, much more. We hear about John Edwards, John Holland, Sylvia Brown, people who are mediums who are channeling passed over loved ones and help people healing from grief and things. We haven't heard quite so much about channelers, although in The Secret, I believe it is, they did, or the other DVD that was very popular, and I'm blank on the name of it, that was just out about, it came before, I'm blanking out, sorry. There was a tag, an interview on one of those DVDs with Ramtha, JZ9, with Ramtha speaking about things. Another channel that I like very much, I have seen her channel, Esther Hicks channels, Abraham, and I went to a Whole Life Expo, or excuse me, a Hay House Expo just to see her because I had not seen her in person, to see her go into trance, to see her channel. And I wanted to see if I saw the entity and saw the energy around her, and I did. I was very, very fascinated by it. Her book, Ask and It's Given, by Esther and Jerry Hicks, a phenomenal book, really great channeled material. So channeling is a very interesting experience. Now, having said all this about what's a medium, what's a channel, what does all that look like, I have to say I would encourage you, if you are going to think about channeling, to really kind of get more information on what you're channeling. Again, anytime you're dealing with spirit in any form, it's setting intent, who you're going to dial, what's it going to look like. One of the better books on channeling is one by Joannklimo. It was written in, I believe, 1987. And I like it because it interviews a lot of these channelers, and it really makes definitions about how you can start to channel, what that would look like, how did they start, how did they question, and I think that's the most important part as you look into some of this, is to really set up questioning what you're getting, because I will tell you, Jack Purcell was very right-brained and really questioned what started coming through, because it was very spontaneous and very unusual. And if you watch the movie Out on the Limb, thank God for Shirley going out on that limb for us, she does have, as guests on that miniseries, Lazarus, Jack Purcell, and also Kevin Ryerson, who also is definitely, to me, a channel. One of the entities he channels is a entity from ancient Egypt. So, and when you hear them, they actually have accents. They're very, very different. So as you read about some of these channels, and I'm sure there's tons more than I have resources about, I'm sure that there are many channels, much channel information that is not just in my frame of reference. That's why I would love for you to call in with, you know, and talk about someone that you heard channel in your own area, perhaps in California, wherever you are, and discuss your experience with channeling. I think channeling, to me, is very fascinating because I think when you talk to someone who is an ancient master or an entity who has not perhaps done Earth but has observed us, their viewpoint would be much different than my Aunt Sally, you know, who made a mean sugar cookie. I don't think that just talking to passed over loved ones, I think that's very healing. I think it's wonderful. But even if you read in the 1800s about some of the mediums, they were talking to people who did research in the area of metaphysics, who did research in mediumship. They were talking to colleagues. They were talking to professors. They were talking to passed over scientists. They weren't just talking to their, you know, uncles and aunts and mothers and fathers and brothers. They were really communicating with people they had known in this life who they could try and verify. So part of the purpose of mediumship was to verify life after death, to prove the continuity of life. And I think that's very important and valid work. But, you know, when you open the door to channeling, it brings in a whole different dimension of information that would be, to me, fascinating. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind sitting down and having a little talk with Jesus, the Master, and really, you know, go back and say, you know, what did you really mean by this? You know, this is what they wrote 300 years later, but what did you really personally teach? I would love to get information from Einstein and talk about how and what and why did he think of all these incredible formulas that changed our world. There's so many great minds that, if we believe in the continuity of life, are wandering around the universe waiting for us to dial them. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hello, Atira.
Hello.
This is Steve here. How are you?
I'm fine. So tell me, I think you have a channel that you're very interested in.
I have a favorite. I think I came across them before I came across you and what you provided to the world.
Mm. So tell me about them.
Well, there's a bunch that I like. In fact, when I walk into a book, New Age bookstore, I go right to the channeling section. But my favorite one of all the ones I've read is Ptah.
And who channels Ptah?
Jenny King. She now lives in Australia.
And how long has she been doing it?
Oh, my God. I think since the 70s. She had a few books out there. I believe were originally called Transformations of Consciousness, Channelings of Ptah. But my favorite book that she is they took the best comments and created a book called Ptah, the Gift.
Good. So give me a sample of some Ptah information.
Okay. Actually, I'll open up a page in the book. Here's one. It says, "Dear one, forgiveness is a concept of limitation. Does this sound strange to you? Well, you see, in the broader sense of things, no one ever did anything to you. You create your own reality, absolutely. Everything in your life you have created or co-created, and you have done so for your greater spiritual growth, whether or not you accept it as such. Understand that every situation is a learning process for the benefit of all peoples concerned to help you to grow in love, honor, and sovereignty and compassion."
You know, isn't it interesting that you would choose that great passage because it talks about personal responsibility,
mm-hmm.
which spiritualism talks about, even though they don't believe in you talking to anything but passed over loved ones. So it's ironic that you would pick absolutely that passage. The other thing I think is interesting in that is, when you read channeled material, it almost really always talks about your personal accountability, your part in whatever's going on.
Yes, absolutely, it does. When I first came across Ptah, I think for everybody, when you find material, whether it's channeled, unchanneled, it's something that rings true to you when you read it, or listen to it, or perceive it. And I think that's what makes people expand upon it. Why I kind of find channeling extremely interesting is because it seems to me less filtered than the day-to-day material we receive in our standard books and our intellectual opportunities.
Well, I think often when you get channel material, it comes in a pure form. it is written down or taken down or dictated down by someone, and not necessarily rewritten, where a lot of times when we're looking at books that are teaching us to commune with spirit guides or do different things, the personality or the person's got in the way, where when you see here mediumistic material or channel material, it's usually not colored.
Yes.
By the channel.
There's something special about Patai I did want to mention. I didn't find out till several years ago, for your audience, Atira was kind enough to introduce me to a gentleman by the name of Hakim, who, for all practical purposes at the time, lived across the street from the Great Pyramid. And he was an Egyptologist, and I met him, and one of the many things he said to me that I found absolutely fascinating was that the name of the country, Egypt, was transliterated from the ancient Greek. And what it means is House of Ptah.
Yeah, I'm really well-read, and I don't think I knew that.
And as I have read about the Egyptian heritage, it's interesting that all of the stuff that we've gotten recently in The Secret and What the Bleep...
What the Bleep is the name of the other DVD I was trying to think of. Thank you.
Right. That Ptah was saying all this, you know, when she was when Jenny King was first channeling him.
In the 1980s.
Yeah.
Right. In the 1980s, or at least probably late 1980s, and I was met Jack Purcell, who channels Lozaris. What you're hearing in The Secret now, they were teaching then. I mean, they had been teaching it in the, probably in the I don't know about the 70s because I really didn't get into it till the 80s. But in the 80s, when you were reading some of the channels, really great channel material, the Lazarus, Rampa, Ptah stuff, really, truly, they're teaching things that now The Secret's kind of tweaked on, which I love it. I'm glad The Secret's out there because it makes it more mainstream. But now that just whet your appetite to go back to these teachings of Ptah. Really awesome.
The another one that might be worth commenting about that has reached a lot of popularity also, in part because of The Secret, was the Abraham.
Yeah, Abraham Hicks's work. Well, it's actually Esther and Jerry Hicks's work, but she channeled Abraham. And that book, Ask and It's Given, and I think they actually have a new one out, really, that... And it takes you several steps further on The Secret. It's really, I consider it a companion book in many ways for The Secret because it really came out actually before The Secret and really carries it on about how we set our limitations.
Well, I heard an interview by them on another radio station, and they had mentioned that they were in the original release of The Secret. That was done in Australia and was not, they were not contained in the U.S. version.
That's too bad because I think they're a very important part of the New Age metaphysical movement. They have rich, rich information in their books. But I also think, you know, as much as, I'm right now real big into talking to people who are still living. You know, I don't know why. I mean, I've read a lot about the dead, but I'm really right now, I want to go and talk to somebody, see them in physical, see them moving on the stage, you know, and give them this information today. I love Seth material. I've learned a lot from the Seth material, from some of the other channeled work, because I believe Edgar Casey was totally a channel. But, you know, I'm all for walking around seeing some living people doing this, so I think I'm ready to see people like, Jenny King, you know, Ptah come, and I'd like to see that kind of work, Lazarus, the Hicks, all of those kinds of people. I think it makes a little more real when you can see it in person.
Yes, it does, and so when Jenny does hers, Ptah is more of a male energy, so you watch her go from being female to becoming male.
Does she actually transfigure?
Oh, yes. And you can see it in the way she walks and moves about a room, the way you get spoken to by Ptah. And I think one of the questions people may ask is, how do you know this is kind of real. You know, this isn't. And I can only tell you that the first time I saw Patah do this, there was an overwhelming feeling of love that just poured over you as he did, as he helped each person in a room. And I think as I've watched these people over the years, I think that's one of the things I look for. How does it feel when you're listening to it? Not does it ring true in your heart, but what kind of energy are they generating when you're experiencing, you know, this transformation that somebody does when they begin to channel?
Well, I think that's true, and it's nice to hear a male's perspective and someone who is in a little different venue, because you're sort of a three-piece suitor in the business world versus where I am in sort of, quote-unquote, the woo-woo world, that I agree with you on that, Steve, that when you're in the presence of this experience, when I the first time I ever heard Jack Purcell channel Lazarus, I totally lucked out. There was a room, and I think it probably sat 3,000 or 4,000 people, and I was like in the second row. You know, so I was up front and pretty personal to really see his features, to see the whole transfiguration, to see the experience. And I have to tell you, for that time, I literally was on the edge of my seat because I didn't want to miss a thing. And I truly felt so enveloped in love that it seemed like he was in that state probably, you know, 10 minutes, and it was probably 2 hours. And I left wanting more. And I think that's the discernment you have to. How much does this resonate with your emotional state, your physical state, and your mental state? Does it leave you with more questions than answers? Does it leave you wanting more? Does it make sense to you? Since you have Patah's book in front of you, flip through and let's see if we get another statement here before I let you go and see if anybody else wants to call. Because I don't know that much about Patah. I've read a few things over the years, emails that I've gotten, but I don't have personal long-term acquaintance with him.
Well, one of the things I can suggest for anybody in your audience who's interested, there's a reason I mentioned Patah and why I like Abraham, is because both of these entities provide you with tools. They don't just give you a philosophy of how to think and how to act. They provide you tools so you can begin to transform the way you think. So I'm sure that your audience is probably much more familiar with Abraham. But in the case of Patah, if you go to the website, which is, I believe, patah.com, P-T-A-A-H.com, there will be tools that you'll find that will help you change the way you think, change the way you act, help you to come with better terms with who you are and how to be more effective in your life. One of the strong ones I can recommend, which is, I actually read it every morning, it's called The Morning Song. And it kind of sets a way of thinking about your day. And basically it's be happy you're alive and bless everything that you get to see as your day goes by. That'd be a short version of what it says, but it's very helpful. But if you want another passage, I have another one.
Great.
You are loved and cherished on every dimension. The names and numbers do not matter. They do not mean anything to you. What is meaningful to you is your own heart, your own soul, your own consciousness, your own potential, your own divine beauty. But we desire you to know that you are not alone.
A powerful statement, and I believe that. You know, I think it's very interesting that certain people can believe, you know, that passed over loved ones, the dead, so-called dead, are all around us. Well, you know, for me, I believe angels are all around us. I believe that there's a lot of different hierarchies, realms, dimensions, spiritual beings that I have yet to fathom. In fact, I don't even, you know, I cannot be so ignorant to think that there aren't other ETs, because if I go to another planet, I would be considered the ET.
Yes.
You know, so when you start thinking about all of these, all of these options that are open to us, you know, I think there's more in our realm unseen than seen. And as we mature and grow and use more of our brain, our consciousness and our brain, which we use so little of now, I think that we will start seeing these dimensions and perceiving them. One of the reasons that mediums do seances in the dark with a red light is because when the light is off and you're using a red light which has a different vibration, it makes it easier to see ectoplasm. So I'm sure, you know, people who are colorblind see much differently than people who are not. So as we understand how the different vibrations and rays of light work, how energy works, we will find that there are more dimensions than we understand. You know, it's a scientific fact right now that energy can't be destroyed. It only changes form, but who knows what will happen. Quantum physics every day is discovering something different.
Well, one thing that I often say to people is that from basic science, that a human body on its own can only perceive 0.1% of all known vibrations in this universe. So think of how much possibility there is that you can pick up through meditation and just opening your mind to other perceptions.
Well, it's interesting you brought that up because I know a client the other day said, Atir, why do we dream? How do we dream? And I can't answer that. I can't answer how we dream. I could probably answer why we dream better, that it's part of how our subconscious, you know, kind of deals with different things sometimes at levels we don't understand. That is really from a psychology point of view versus a metaphysical point of view. However, you know, how we dream, I have no clue. I don't think anybody can answer that exactly. How does the mind, the brain, the inner sight dream?
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, I don't think they talk about, the altered state of dream state, lucid dreaming. They have coined a phrase for lucid dreaming, but exactly how that all happens, I have yet to have anybody define it for me.
Hmm. Do you have any other favorite channels that you like to...
Well, like I said, I'm sure there's channels in other parts of the country that are in other countries that I have not even yet heard of, which I would love to hear of. Does Jenny King, now you said she lives in Australia, does she come here and do work?
She comes about once every year or two.
Okay.
And she does...
So give her website again, please.
Pataha.com, PTAAH.com.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that so much. Thank you, Steve.
Have a great show.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, if anyone else has a channel in their area across the United States or wherever you want to call from, I would love to know more about other channels. I think that it's going to become more the norm than not. I think we're going to see some more channeling. I know that there's a lot of people who are channeling like groups, like ET groups, things like that. I don't know a lot about that just because that just has not been my avenue interest. I have enough study to in esoteric studies to last me a lifetime. I haven't really had the chance to look into the Ashtar Kamana, although I've heard about them, that they have some people who channel what I think is called the Ashtar Command, or channel different ET groups, but I do not have a great foundation in that. But if someone from that group wants to email my website at angelscribe.com, I certainly would be glad to bring that subject to the airwaves for people to talk to or talk about. So let's talk for one more minute, or if anybody wants to call in, the number again is 877-876-5227. With their favorite channel or information. I do think that it's very fascinating to get the opportunity to listen to different channels. And there was a short period, I would say, in the early 90s that I found it interesting that people who didn't know each other were channeling. And you would go to, like, a home and you would hear someone channel, a private channeler, that was not in the media, you know, so they weren't comparing notes and didn't have books out, that you would hear similar things. And years later, I actually found out that Ramtha and this other channel that I had heard actually were from the same time period, about 35,000 or 40,000 years ago. So it was interesting that they had similar ideals or I don't want to say doctrine, but knowledge that they brought forth that was interesting. If we believe that our consciousness goes on after death, after physical death, and evolves, spiritualists believe that there, you know, the consciousness evolves, and there will be a point at that the soul has evolved so far, you know, it would no longer be in much communication with physical beingness on Earth. If that's true, how much more true would it be for, you know, ancient people who have passed over? Say, Ptah, who was supposed to be a god in Egypt, or Pythagoras, or any Hermes. I mean, you know, Hermes, the information that came through and became a philosophy and the Hermetic philosophy is absolutely today staggering amount of information. Fascinating. So if that soul is still there and evolving at the rate that they were here on the earth, how phenomenal they must be on the other side. Edgar Cayce, if Edgar Cayce could do what he did in this lifetime, and he talks about his lifetimes in Egypt and other times, other dimensions, Atlantia, Lemuria, all those other opportunities, then is his soul not evolving now on the other side and someday could bring incredible information back to us, whether he reincarnates or not? That's another subject, a whole other subject that would be fascinating, because some people believe Edgar Cayce has reincarnated in someone. But to me, it's like if our evolution of our soul is working forward, you know, this life is pretty much of an interesting challenge and adventure. How much more so will it be when we become the entities on the other side, when our soul is making that journey to the other side? I'm not so sure someone's going to have a good time when they hook up and I'm their guide. You know, how is Atira going to do as somebody's spirit guide from the other side? I better be packing a better cosmic toolbox than I am right now to be able to facilitate if I pull guide duty for someone once I transcend. I want to be able to be the best guide I could for someone. So all of these interesting questions become so fascinating to me. And in my metaphysical search, I consider myself quite well read. There's, I'm sure, more I could read, but I've read a lot. And yet, I still have all these amazing, fascinating questions that I have not been able to find in any one book. And that, you know, am I going to be a guide on the other side? If I am, what dimension would I be guiding on? You know, would I be the person that's guiding the kindergarten group? Would I be middle grade? Would I be high school? I know I'm not college. What would be my job description if I wanted to come back and do that kind of work? What are the steps for us on this side to connect to our angels, guides, masters, loved ones, great master teachers? How do we know when we have connected with spiritual masters who have lived here or not? You know, I consider Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, all masters in their own right. They could be master teachers for any soul on this side. You could connect with the Great White Brotherhood, the Ashtar Command. There's so many possibilities and realms and dimensions of creation and expandance, how the world, how the dimensions expand. I, for one, don't want to limit it just to a certain thing. I think as we start developing and start seeking, we are responsible for our own choices. We take personal responsibility. So if you are deciding to go and become a spiritual seeker through time and dimensions, through known, seen and unseen, then you must be prepared to know and ask a lot of questions to make sure that you're not just getting into a pocket of psychological debris field that's your own personal junk. So start asking questions. I think if you go to and look up about these channelers, most of them also talk a little bit about somewhere in there the difference between channeling, hearing voices, and schizophrenia, because people do have illnesses, psychological illnesses. People are schizophrenic. People can have bipolar issues, all those kinds of things. So by looking into some psychology classes or information first, before you take the journey, find out how stable you really personally are. Am I a stable person? Do I have one foot in reality? Do I have questions that I would want someone to ask if I did go into an unconscious state? To know, is this for our highest good? One of the reasons we talk about don't mess with Ouija boards is because, again, setting intent, and who are you dialing? Dialing 1-800-ANY-SPIRIT is not a good thing for anybody. So when you decide you want to connect with a higher realm, a dimension, a master, teacher, or any of those kinds of things, if you've ever read the books, Master Teachings of the Far East, wonderful channeled information again. I think it's by Spalding, I think is who channeled that, I'm not sure. But Masters of the Far East, great information, channeled work. But please, please, have the right questions. If you're going to go in and experience channeling, go with somebody, somebody else who's a skeptic or certainly questions. Go in a teamwork and have questions you want to ask. Have information. Don't just buy because somebody said so. Really discern for your own self, what am I really hearing? Does it resonate with me? Is more than one person channeling this kind of material? I think by the time of 2012, there's going to be quite a bit of channeled material about what this new time period is going to look like. We're starting to see some of it come in now. Of what are the changes going to be? What are our choices going to be around things? Like I said, this book, Channeling, Investigations on Receiving Information from Paranormal Sources by John, J-O-N-K-L-I-M-O. Wonderful book, written in 1987. It's a great overview of what was going on in 1987. I wish there was an update. I don't think there is. I've been trying to find out for you. If I get in the future information, I will get it to you and have it posted on either on the website at angelscribe.com or at bbsradio.com. If you have information about someone you have heard channel, seen someone in particular in this country or in another country, because I know we go all over the world with BBS Radio now, please email us. We would love to know more information and start doing some interviews with different channels. I really would love to actually have someone come on or have the opportunity to let you hear something that is channeled work and really have a personal experience and talk to someone who is doing this channel work and what it is like from their end, from them being the channel, the conduit. And so those kinds of experiences and things that would be really wonderful to share. Because I think a lot of people now are having their own experiences. As I have explored and started teaching a spiritual development class on mediumship, channeling certainly has occurred. And for me, it was a very different experience because I am a conscious channel, meaning that I hear my guides, angels, guides, masters, and Dom outside of myself. I really, truly was not very open to being an unconscious channel, and that sounds very bizarre because here I am teaching a class to do that. But somehow in my mind, my students were going to do it, and I would be there to watch them, and it wouldn't happen to me, but it did, and it was a very interesting experience. Very interesting information has come through. And so it's been a very amazing personal adventure and experience. In the next few weeks on the radio, I certainly hope to bring to you some different mediums. I'm working on bringing some discussions, I hope, from Val Williamson. She has her own website in the UK. It's Val Williamson. Actually, let me give you that website because she's the one I met that does mediumship in the UK that was so fabulous. It's val@internationalmedium.co.uk. I'm hoping to bring some other mediums on board that you will get the experience to hear different kinds and styles of mediumship as well as experience information from different types of channels. And so please do email me and we'll start getting some new subjects and different ideas other than just my research on the airwaves. And so until we talk again, remember to let your heart light shine. to light your way and the way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings of angels.
Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles and the Angels and Miracles Good Newsletter, can be found at angelscribe.com.